This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Zach Gorchow.
And I'm Alethea Kasman. Today, we're going to talk Clerks. And sorry, Zach, not the 1990s classic Gen X movie. No, we're talking about Michigan's city, township, and county clerks.
Yes, when it comes to elections, clerks historically are like the topics of the show. Important and under the radar. But after the 2020 election, they are definitely under the radar no more.
Yes, since 2020, the focus on clerks has increased. Michigan's election system is decentralized. So while we have a statewide agency that oversees elections, where we all vote in our hometowns, it is completely run by local clerks.
Focus on clerks has in part increased because of false accusations of widespread fraud in our elections since 2020. We asked the Republican clerk of Macomb County, Anthony Ferlini, about his confidence in the state's elections, given that many accusations of fraud come from within his party. And here's what he said.
Let's be clear. President Trump never once said the machines were corrupt. He's never brought that up. If he did, I'm sure he would have been sued, just like some of the other, you know, some of these other places have been sued. So he never brought that up. And I think people are taking some of the concerns they have and applied it to the tabulators. That's not where they belong. The concerns might be more of, you know, a lot of other things that are more political than they are mechanical in the offices. So I haven't seen any instances in the state of Michigan where our tabulators were compromised outside interference. I think it might be more human issues than they are the mechanics of the elections themselves.
Clerks in recent years have also had to deal with so many changes in voting processes passed by voters in 2018 and 2022. These changes included allowing anyone to vote via absentee ballot and early in-person voting, among many, many others. We asked Kalamazoo County Clerk Meredith Place, a Democrat, about whether this was too much too soon, and here's what she said.
You know, I always... You know, I tell folks, I'm originally from the state of Iowa. The first time I ever voted was at my dorm using early voting. When Prop 2 passed, like most clerks, I was a little nervous because of the amount of changes. However, I was excited to get to work and to get to work with the 19 local clerks throughout Kalamazoo County on implementing all of the requirements that were passed by our voters in 2022.
There's a lot of pressure on clerks. They have to implement all these wide-ranging changes, and they have to face the critics. Sometimes the criticism is justified. In 2022, the Southfield city clerk pleaded no contest to criminal charges related to her covering up a voting tabulation error. But mostly, these are very rare. In fact, that Southfield clerk's improper conduct was caught right away by county election officials.
And human error does happen. No one wants to relive what happened in Antrim County in 2020 when a human-caused computer error led to incorrect initial results in the presidential race there. But those were caught and corrected before the routine canvassing process even began. And one thing's for sure, with Michigan front and center in the presidential election again, the pressure is greater than ever.
We're going to take a short break, but stick around because when we come back, we're talking with Macomb County Clerk Anthony Ferlini and Kalamazoo County Clerk Meredith Place about a topic Alethea and I love dearly, election mechanics. Welcome back to Mishmash. I'm Zach Gorchow.
And I'm Alethea Kasman. It's the presidential election year, and that means you can almost feel the eyes of the nation turning toward Macomb County and its fabled ticket-splitting voters. With that in mind, we're joined now by Macomb County Clerk Anthony Ferlini. Clerk Ferlini, welcome to Mishmash.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So, Clerk Ferlini, as we head into a presidential election, you're running a big county, big, complex election system. What gives you the most confidence about the state's election systems, and what concerns you the most?
Well, you know, I think first off, let me just say this. We have a great system in Michigan because we're so decentralized. It goes down to the very local clerks. And with that is a lot of, I think, some great opportunity to keep things. It's very tough to cheat an election in Michigan if you're dealing with very small segments. Every clerk is on their own. You'd have to have a lot of people to coordinate something very, very large to shift a vote. Doesn't mean, you know, somebody couldn't do it on a local basis somewhere small, but it couldn't be something widespread statewide. So I think we have a great system in Michigan. But, you know, I think some of the challenges, to be honest, is that decentralization causes us to have a lot of different people working in different directions. The other thing, we got three different tabulating systems in the state of Michigan. Everyone was left to themselves to decide between these three systems which one they would use. And this decision was made well before I was here. As a matter of fact, I think I was in the legislature when those decisions were made. And it, with that causes a little bit of inconsistencies across the state. We have some tabulators that can, very few, but they can still modem in, and all the rest Dominion. We have ESNS, others have Dominion, and of course there's Hart, and Dominion and ESNS are not able to send their transmissions electronically on election night. So it makes it look like some clerks don't have their act together, which isn't the case. It's just that they have to hand deliver their results into the county. That inconsistency concerns me because people think that we're laying back and we're not turning our results in, which isn't true.
So we're going to touch a little bit more on that later. But first, you know, I want to talk a little bit about this new early voting. So we have in-person voting for 9 days before the election. The first time we saw this was in February with the presidential primary. And then it got its second run earlier this month in the statewide primary. And what do you think of this so far? Would you give it a good rating?
Depends how what you want to grade, right? If you want to grade the use of the early voting, I'd give it a D at this point. But keep in mind, we've had two elections that were the election, the presidential primary, which was pretty much decided before they came to Michigan. So there's a very low turnout, which, by the way, if you're going to kick something off, that's called a soft start, right? We're just trying to get it started. We just had one, the primary election, where 21% in Macomb voted, which is another low turnout, but it gave us a little bit more of an idea of what we're doing and how people are reacting to it. I think in November is going to be the real test as to how it's going to perform and how people are going to accept it. I think eventually you'll probably see a third of the people using this, a third of the people on election day, and of course the other third with absentees. But those, I got to tell you, on the early voting, the opportunity that was lost by the general public was on the absentee ballots. If they turned it in, but they crossed over, and in Macomb, that's fairly popular, right? I mean, to cross over, you spoil the whole partisan part of your ballot and didn't know it, and you didn't know it. Whereas if you would have brought your absentee vote ballot like I did and put it into the machine, if I had crossed over, it would have let me know I crossed over and says, hey, you want to correct this or do you want to go forward? If I go forward, I spoil the entire partisan parts of the ballot and only vote on the nonpartisan. So it would have given many people that crossed over the opportunity to fix it.
So if it was a D for usage, what would you grade it as far as like how well it ran? You know, was the juice worth the squeeze of setting all this up, or do we not know that yet?
I would say right now it certainly isn't worth it if you look at it from that standpoint. But I think it's because we're trying to get the message out there, and a lot of people didn't know. And of course, at the presidential primary, as well as the last primary we had in August here, I don't know that a lot of people were well informed that there was even that availability, or even when 21% of the people vote, that means, you know, close to 80% didn't even get out to vote. So it's hard to tell on that. I think it's good, particularly, I think it's a great, we'll just call it what it is, a great Republican thing, because the Republicans were calling on the fact that do not turn your absentee ballots in on drop boxes or mail in. You can't, they were having a hard time with that, right? This gives them an opportunity, and anybody, and I shouldn't just say Republicans, Democrats as well, putting their ballots in to the tabulator, seeing it getting tabulated, their ballot was counted, it's in the machine, and we're done. And it's counted.
So there have been so many election law changes, as you know all too well. There was Proposal 3 of 2018 that authorized no reason absentee voting. And then we had Proposal 2 of 2022, even more sweeping, that authorized the early voting process we're talking about, mandatory absentee drop boxes, ending the absentee application process, and too much more than we have time to talk about. And then the legislature made a number of changes this term. Are clerks' heads spinning a bit?
I think it's unreasonable to believe that the clerks can do all the things that are required and take care of any contingencies that might come up. We had an election in our county, the sheriff's race on the Republican side, that was decided within a couple hundred votes out of 25,000 or so. And should there be a countywide recount on something like that, it would just cause havoc on trying to get ready for the November election. So the legislature really needs to understand there's people behind these systems. And I recognized that as soon as I got here, because our office and the clerk in the county clerk's office, which doesn't run the election during the day, because those are run by local clerks, our office was coming in at 6 in the morning, staying all the way through after we close at 4:30, staying all the way through the night into the next day. And I says, hang on, you guys are just human beings here. We can't be doing it this way. So I've got a little bit more of a staged start. We have somebody with a cell phone at home. If there's an emergency in the morning, that just call this person. We'll take care of it. And then I'm having them come in a little bit later, because really when I need them most is in the evening when it's showtime for us.
So another new law that took effect this year allows cities and townships of 5,000 or more to process and tabulate absentee ballots up to 8 days before the election. Is this happening in Macomb County? You know, it still seemed in most places that it's taking late into the night to, you know, count and tabulate these absentee ballots. Are you recommending, you know, that your cities and townships participate in this?
100% I do. And I think most of the bigger ones did. It's critically important to get ahead of this, because election night is difficult on its own. But I think part of the problem that is caused is the drop boxes are still available all during election day. And talking to one clerk, she was telling me in the November of 2020 election, there's actually 2,000 ballots she ended up picking up on the 8 o'clock pickup of the drop boxes. Well, that's crazy, right? They picked up during the day. Now at 8 o'clock, there's that many. And that causes, to me, you know, a little bit of concern that now we're trying to count these ballots and verify signatures and do all those things late. So I really think, you know, that kind of stuff should probably change this same day registration. I think was kind of I'm not sure that it was needed, and it causes issues for the clerks when they're already busy. I think that the drop boxes, probably there should be a cutoff sooner. I mean, we have early voting now. We have your polls open all day. Certainly people can get to some of these places to get their ballot counted. And if they're going to do it, they're going to be open. Maybe they limit the drop box to the clerk's office so that he or she can adequately perform their duties in a timely fashion.
Big a concern is it to have Michigan, you know, among some states that seem to be later into the night, even the next day, releasing or, you know, getting to final and official results? Still, like states like Florida and Ohio, it always seems like they're done by like midnight or around there. Michigan's a lot later. Is that even a big deal? Or in today's climate, would it be better to be able to have this essentially done, you know, around midnight?
Well, you know, let's go back to 2020. I don't think I knew I won until about 9 o'clock in the morning. So it was, even then, it was with the electronic transfer of data, I still didn't know till the wee hours of the morning. So there's obviously something in the process that's got to change to make it a little bit more efficient. I'm not against electronic transfer of data as long as it's done in a proper fashion. But people want to see results. You as the media want to see results right away so you can start reporting on it. You certainly don't want to be up till 3 o'clock in the morning waiting to see what's going on to do your job. So, or even later. So I think I think that's the part of the system that needs to be fixed. I think the early tabulation of ballots is a good thing. We don't know the results until 8 o'clock, but they're able to process these envelopes. So I think you're going to see a much this November better than it was in 2020 with the absentee voters. But I certainly want to encourage absentee voters, if they can, get to early voting and get their ballot tabulated and they know it's done early. So
you touched on this a little bit earlier in the interview, but what is going on with townships and cities having to drive election results to a central office? You know, do you think that this delays things? I mean, this
it does.
In August, we saw Warren, I think, was an issue in Macomb. We saw 4 or 5 hours without any, you know, updates being posted. You know, can you talk a little bit about what's going on here and, you know, if it can be, if it's an issue that should be fixed or if we should just wait, be more patient?
Alethea, yeah, let me be clear. I mean, we post the results as soon as we get them. So when we get the results, we post them immediately. Sometimes I've seen some reporters think, oh, Macomb's late again. No, we're not. If I look at their tabulators, and I look at the numbers on when they shut them down and reported out the numbers, it's just after 8 o'clock. So they're done early. The struggle is getting those sticks, those secured sticks, brought to us so that we can post them up for everybody else. And this is something we're going to talk a little bit more about the local clerks to realize this is important. Some get it. We've actually offered for all the communities that we would go out with a sheriff, with one of our employees, and securely bring those sticks in so they don't have to use any of their own staff to do it. Some took us up on it, and you've seen some of those results posted up early. Some did it on their own, and some of those got in early also. And others chose not to use our help and came in very, very late, later than they should.
And you said earlier that this has to do with the kind of equipment you use to tabulate your ballots, right? Do you think there should be some sort of requirement that, you know, every county has to use, you know, a tabulator that can, do things automatically without having to drive them in?
Well, let's roll back a little bit here, because the decision was made to go with three different tabulator companies 6 years ago or 7 years ago. I forget what it was. And the decision to go with three, one of the tabulating companies was authorized on a national, was approved on a national basis to modem. The other two companies, one of which we use, was certified through the state of Michigan, but not nationally. So they've taken the stance, the state of Michigan took the stance that they were going to shut down. They told us all tabulators from all companies when they had their update. And so ours were shut down, as well as anyone with Dominion, as anybody else with ESNS. And the modems are actually taken out. The electronic transfer is actually taken out of our machines. So we have no means of electronically transferring the data, which I think they overreacted. I think there's protocols that could have been put in place to protect that electronic transfer. And I think it actually added one more element of security, because you have the electronic transfer, you have the transfer of the actual sticks, you have the actual ballots, and you have the paper in the machine, the tape that runs. All these provide for more security, and that would have added one more element if proper protocols were used. And I'm not sure that they were concerned about that in the past, but I think they could have. We're the only county that did a forensic audit in the state, and we found this out through our forensic audit. For instance, the ESNS modems turned on when the machines turned on. They didn't transfer data, but they sat there ready to transfer data. That's a problem, because we were sold on the fact that they were not ready to transfer until the end of the day, which might have been mincing words, but it was, I think, an untrue statement. Now, I asked for the, you know, in our audit, we asked for the Verizon logs, just short of a subpoena. We finally got it. And we looked through them all, and nothing was transferred in and out of that those tabulators until they transmitted out to us, the county. I think that the state needs to take a hard look at this, because I think that the and come up with a standard for everybody. Because I think it's unfair for Macomb to report ours at quite a bit after some of the others that are able to transfer electronically. It makes it look like there's a competency issue or something unusual is going on. It's not. It's just we cannot electronically transfer. If we could, those results would, most of the results would be in by 8 o'clock. 8:30.
Yeah. So it's, you know, this question about accuracy and trustworthiness of election results, you know, former President Trump, that's no secret. He's had his, you know, raised his issues. You're a Republican, but you also work closely with Michigan clerks. I think you've said here you think we have a good system, but do you think the system can be trusted? And when you look at places where the former president and his supporters have pointed to, like Antrim, Wayne County, Barry County even, is there any reason for concern?
Listen, Antrim County, it was human error. It wasn't some malicious act that came out of that. And the other thing, let's be clear. President Trump never once said the machines were corrupt. He's never brought that up. If he did, I'm sure he would have been sued, just like some of the other, you know, some of these other places have been sued. So he never brought that up. And I think people are taking some of the concerns they have and applied it to the tabulators. That's not where they belong. The concerns might be more of, you know, a lot of other things that are more political than they are mechanical in the offices. So I haven't seen any instances in the state of Michigan where our tabulators were compromised, outside interference. I think it might be more human issues than they are the mechanics of the elections themselves. Nefarious people that have been caught doing things that they shouldn't be doing.
And overall, if you had to say, like, do you have, like, is there anyone out there you think, like, boy, you know, I just don't trust what they're doing when they, how they're running their city, township, county?
No, unless I'm there seeing what's going on, I don't ever speculate. You know, I can certainly, well, you know, people talk about the pizza boxes on the windows. Bad look. It's a bad look. Face it. I mean, I don't know that you want to be in that kind of a position. So I think transparency is key, keeping the public fully aware and seeing what's going on. I think educating election workers, we've educated over 400 here in Macomb County. This is something we never did before, because I think it's important that they're educated, they know their rights, and also the people that are challenging, getting them educated so they know their rights, the challengers, so when they come in, they can have a good conversation that doesn't go sideways because somebody doesn't know what they're talking about. So all that is important. So I think I would tell everyone out there that's running elections, transparency is the key. Keep an open dialogue with the public. I think and the media, when you put it out there, it's going to be tough to argue that there was something wrong because everyone had their eyes on it.
Clerk Ferlini, thank you so much for joining us on Mishmash, and good luck with everything this fall.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're headed west, and we will be joined by Kalamazoo County Clerk Meredith Place. Stick around.
Welcome back. I'm Zach Orshow. We're joined now by Kalamazoo County Clerk Meredith Place, first elected to her post in 2020. Thanks for joining us on Mishmash at a busy time, and your first time running a presidential election, no less.
Thank you for having me.
So we spoke with one of your fellow clerks earlier, Anthony Forlini from Macomb County, and we're going to start out with the same question we asked him. You know, as we head into a presidential election, what gives you the most confidence about the state's election system, and what concerns you the most?
I think what gives me the most confidence is the faith in the thousands of professional election administrators that are administering our elections. Michigan is the most decentralized elections system in the nation. It's primarily administered by 1,500 local clerks, which helps safeguard against state, even countywide problems, as errors or breakdowns can often be confined to just local jurisdictions. Ultimately, I think what I would be most, I'm most concerned about would be bad actors coming from outside of Michigan who seek to harm or disrupt our democracy and our, you know, our elections here in Michigan. That would be, that would, that gives me the most, that concerns me the most.
So you're a Democrat, and Democrats have led efforts to change Michigan election law in recent years and make it easier to vote, especially through the absentee with no reason absentee voting allowed and the new early voting process. As a clerk, you've had to implement a lot of changes, but has this been too much too fast, or is this all good?
You know, I always, you know, I tell folks, I'm originally from the state of Iowa. The first time I ever voted was at my dorm using early voting. When Prop 2 passed, like most clerks, I was a little nervous because of the amount of changes. However, I was excited to get to work and to get to work with the 19 local clerks throughout Kalamazoo County on implementing all of the requirements that were passed by our voters in 2022. In Kalamazoo County, we, as a group, coordinated early voting. 18 of our local, 18 of our 19 local jurisdictions have agreed to coordinate early voting. This, you know, was a, you know, it was a process, right? We started talking to our local clerks immediately in January after Prop 2 passed in November. We sat down with each of our local clerks individually. We met with our local clerks as a group, and collectively, they decided and requested that the county step up to help coordinate the early voting effort. Why? Primarily because we wanted to ensure that voters received an easy message on how they could early vote, where they could early vote, when they could early vote. And also, they were concerned about the impact of their local budgets and having a cost-effective way to provide early voting. You know, I know our local the local clerks association, as well as the county clerks association, we're working with the Secretary of State's office and our lawmakers on a Prop 2 cleanup package. The package would address implementation language that you know, that would clarify clarify language, addressing deadlines, and maybe you know, looking at the timeline with our elections. You know, I just think back to you know, not too long ago in July, we had two campaign finance deadlines. At the same time, we are trying to move out equipment to get our early voting sites up and running. There, you know, there's a lot going on in our county clerk's offices, in our local clerk's offices, and it's all happening at the same time. And so we hope our lawmakers, you know, take a step back, look at the Prop 2 implementation package, and really listen to the clerks when we say, look, we may need more flexibility when it comes to our early vote agreements. We may need to extend the time that we have to certify an election. Let's take a look at really really making it a bit easier for the local clerks to facilitate and administer these new requirements.
For the August primary, a little more than half of the 2 million votes cast statewide were either at an early person or in-person voting center or via absentee ballot. You know, are we entering an era where most voters are going to vote before Election Day, whether that's via absentee or at an in-person center?
I think it's fair to say that we will continue to see voting behavior change. The county clerks required to have the ballots in the hands of our local clerks 45 days before the election. Absentee ballots are required to be available to voters 40 days before an election. With Prop 2, voters have the option to request a ballot through a single application, meaning I can fill out a single application and receive an absentee ballot ahead of every election. And if you do that, you're likely going to get your ballot close to that 40 days before an election. So voters, have the option to receive their ballot. The other thing they have the option to do now is they can take that absentee ballot with them to an early vote location or to their precinct on election day. Now, I think we may see voting behavior change with different elections when candidates are known, or maybe a voter is really excited to vote for a candidate and share with their friends and neighbors that they have, you know, filled out their ballot and have dropped it off at a secure drop box, because they're excited to vote in that election. When we look at presidential primaries, I mean, we know candidates sometimes drop out of a race within that 40 days before the election. So voting behavior may change in those races. But ultimately, you know, I do think we're going to see more folks take advantage of voting by way of absentee or voting at an early vote location.
So on that in-person early voting, was it heavily utilized in Kalamazoo County? It still seems like most people who want to vote early are doing so via the absentee ballot. Do you think that's going to change? And how do you like the process with the early voting?
So in Kalamazoo County in February, we saw a little over 1,000 voters vote by way of early voting. In August, we saw a few more voters show up at our early voting site. Still, you know, folks are choosing to utilize an absentee ballot to make their voices heard and vote in our elections in Kalamazoo County. Do I think we're going to see the numbers completely shift in November? No, not really, right? I think early voting is still very new. It's new across the state. And the way legislation was written, it did provide flexibility for local clerks to administer and carry out early voting, which means what's happening in Kalamazoo County may be different than what's happening in a nearby county or a county across the state, right? So the Secretary of State has sent out information to all voters notifying them of their right to 9 days of early in-person voting. But she is unable to say exactly where those early voting locations are to every single voter because it's different across the state. We also know that, you know, look, in the county budget, we don't have a huge marketing budget to tell people about early voting. You know, we're looking to nonprofit organizations or, you know, folks with, you know, campaigns, right? Folks with an interest in getting voters to the polls to notify them about their ability, not only their ability to early vote, but where to go. What we're doing at the county level is notifying and educating our local electorate on the ways that they can vote and the process, you know, and voters can vote one of three ways. They can vote absentee, they can vote early at one of our four early vote locations in the county, or they can still choose to vote on election day. Ultimately, I think what we're doing in Kalamazoo County is working. We have received feedback. We requested feedback from our voters, as well as our early vote inspectors on the process. And we received some feedback that encouraged us to change our process in August, just slightly. But for the most part, our inspectors really enjoyed the process. They signed back up to support early vote locations in August. And we continue. I mean, just yesterday, we had two folks come into the county and requested to sign up and apply to be an election inspector. Folks are coming in. They want to be part of the process. And I think that's emblematic of, you know, the electorate really supporting the effort and also encouraging us to continue doing what we're doing, right? And the feedback we've received from our local clerks has been that they appreciate the coordination and want to continue to coordinate early voting into the future.
So switching gears a little bit, I want to talk, you know, posting results on election night. So Kalamazoo County, I think, tends to post a little bit later, though Michigan counties, I think, statewide were a little bit later than some of our peer states. Can you walk us through the process of tabulating and posting results? You know, is there a way to speed this up? And also, are your local clerks, your city and township clerks, are they using the new tool to tabulate absentee ballots the 8 days prior to the election?
Well, so this is a hot topic right now in our county, and it's been a topic of conversation at our local clerks association meeting for a while, because that is something that I heard as a candidate for this office, and I continue to hear from folks in my hometown. They want to see results up on the web quicker. You know, what we're focused on as clerks, we're focused on getting results that are accurate and transparent. And we want to ensure that the process is followed. And so when we think about the speed and getting the results up online, you know, I want to be clear that the focus for our local clerks has been, we want to make sure that they're accurate results, you know, and we're doing this appropriately. With that in mind, you know, looking at the current process, you know, what happens after a poll close, the chair of the, of the precinct says, hear you, the polls are now closed. What happens? Well, election inspectors have to, at that precinct, have to shut down everything. It's not a quick process, because there are checks and balances, even at the precinct, where a Democrat and a Republican have to be part of closing and shutting down a tabulator. Now, in Michigan, we no longer modem results, meaning when you shut down a tabulator, there is not a button that modems results to a local clerk's office or to the county clerk's office. So what that means is when a tabulator is shut down in Kalamazoo County, we utilize ES&S equipment. When it shuts down, it prints off a tape. You know, it looks like a receipt tape. Those tapes have the results on them, and one tape gets printed and is there at the precinct. The other tapes are put into envelopes that go to the local clerk, the county clerk, and the board of canvassers. The results are then on that program that is then removed, cut out from the tabulator. In Kalamazoo County, it looks like a thumb drive. That program, along with the other materials from that precinct, are then hand-delivered to the local clerk's office. At the local clerk's office, there is a trained local receiving board Democrat and Republican, that go through the materials and ensure that precincts are balanced. There's the same number of voters to the same number of ballots cast, right? And make sure that everything is in tip-top shape before they then deliver all the material from throughout the jurisdiction to the county clerk, right? So you may have a precinct have that thumb drive delivered to a local clerk's office, of course, before another precinct. But the local clerk has to wait until they receive all the materials from all of their precincts before they get those program sticks to the county clerk, where we then upload into our election management system and then get it up on the web. Those are in-person precincts on election day. Absentee votes are typically handled at a absentee voter counting board. And in Kalamazoo County, we do have more and more jurisdictions utilizing the pre-processing. In February, we had, I think, 4 jurisdictions. And in August, we had 6 jurisdictions utilizing pre-processing, which does, in fact, speed up the process on election day. They're able to get through, the tabulating ballots, most of them ahead of election day. The one thing, though, you have to think about, and this is what I have heard from our local clerks, has been you still have drop boxes. So, and you still have ballots coming in on election day. So you can get your absentee ballot counting board, which are trained election inspectors there, and they can be working all day on election day, but you still have to get the ballots and check all drop boxes at 8 p.m. on election night, right? And those are deputized workers who are opening drop boxes, removing them and securing them in ballot containers that then you have a travel time, right, to get back to the local clerk's office. And then those ballots have to be checked in, which means that there's signature verification from the local clerk or their trained staff. And then those ballots get to the absentee counting board, right? So what we have been able to do in Kalamazoo County, we've worked with our largest jurisdiction, which is the city of Kalamazoo, and we have been able to receive their program sticks ahead of some of their materials, which has allowed us to get the results, both absentee and in-person election day results, up online faster than we have in the past. So we are, and we're also working with our local clerks to think about ways they can, they can utilize pre-processing. You know, should they start a counting board earlier in the day on election day? How many staff do they have? And is it possible to request additional staff members on election night to go out to those multiple drop boxes, right? So it's a, I kind of got in the weeds there, but, this is a topic that has been brought up. Actually, more recently, it was brought up to me just yesterday by one of our, electeds in a jurisdiction. And I think it's important, and it's going to be important in November. And I want folks to know that our local clerks, first and foremost, want to deliver results that are accurate and can be trusted, right? But they also care about getting the results, up online and getting them to, to folks who are looking to see who have won these elections. So
real quick, because you've been very generous with your time so far, but I want to close it with this question on one of the newer features we have in Michigan, same day voter registration. So that can be challenging for you and your fellow clerks, especially in college towns, which, of course, Kalamazoo has Western Michigan University and Kalamazoo College. Given all of the expansions we've seen since same-day voter registration was implemented and how people can vote and when they can vote, Do you think same-day registration is still necessary?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, name a college kid that hasn't procrastinated on a paper. I mean, folks are, right? You know, it's wild. The city of Kalamazoo has done an excellent job working with, you know, our colleges, both, you know, Western and K are within the city boundaries, and they have worked with staff in student organizations, encouraging voters to, you know, to not wait till the last minute, right, to register to vote. They have set up a satellite office, which means that it's a local clerk's office on campus. So voters can just go to that satellite office, right, on campus and register to vote ahead of the election. And what's really great is we've also have a early vote location on campus. So voters can, you know, go to the city satellite office, register to vote, and then they can go vote early. You know, what we're still seeing is voters choosing to wait till election day. And what that means is, yes, we still need same day voter registration. Maybe when we, I don't, you know, and I think, I don't even know if there's ever going to be a time where we won't need it. It's heavily utilized in the city of Kalamazoo. And it's also utilized in the local jurisdictions. It was just like a couple of years ago, there was a school proposal, May school proposal, that a jurisdiction with one precinct jurisdiction was shocked to see the number of new registrants, same day registrants. I think it was well over 15 new registrants came out to register to vote and then presumably to vote on that school proposal. So it's not just the city that's where same day voter registration's utilized. It's also in those, you know, 1-2 precinct jurisdictions.
Well, we all love to procrastinate. So Clerk Place, thanks so much for joining us on Mishmash.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to our guests, Macomb County Clerk Anthony Forlini and Kalamazoo County Clerk Meredith Place. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Zach Gorchow, and fellow Gongwerian Alethea Kasbin and Shayna Roth.
Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr., mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian.
Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this podcast and want to support it, and we really hope you do, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell your friends about how much you've learned from Mishmash and send them a link. Learn more about Gongwer News Service at gongwer.com.
Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this podcast, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give.